We're reading from Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8. And the Lord helping us, we are going to finish Romans chapter 8 in the month of November. And in the new year, we trust we will be going in the will of God to the most popular, well-known chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 9. Constantly, wherever you go, no matter what denomination, there are always thorough expositions given of Romans chapter 9, of course. All right, well, we are coming to Romans chapter 8 today, and we'll begin our reading in that very familiar portion, Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the close of this great chapter, and we trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will take His word today and minister the truth to our hearts for the glory of His great name, for the good of His people, building up His saints on their most holy faith, and that He would cause those who do not know Christ to seek Him today. I have had great pleasure the last few days reading the testimony of another convert from Islam to Christ. And I want to say this, that it is so wonderful to see men and women who were brought up in the Islamic religion to be delivered to know Christ and to devour this book, come to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can't get enough of reading the scriptures and loving every minute of it. It is so amazing. Well, we know that they are very persecuted. I was reading about this one who converted in hiding, and a mob coming looking for this one, and God graciously delivered. Otherwise, there would be no book of testimony for me to read. I was very glad for that great deliverance that they were not able to get this believer and do what they wanted to do in the murder of this child of God. But our text today is verse 36. We skipped it on purpose last Lord's Day. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now that is very serious, that the ungodly counts Christians as worth nothing any more than an animal to be slaughtered. But that's not the way the Lord looks at us. The Lord regards us so lovingly and so highly, precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. He cares for us. This is what the ungodly think of us, that we are worth no more than sheep for the slaughter. You remember the pilgrims came to this land early in the winter of 1620. It was about this time of year. It was in November of 1620. And oh, what a change. We found yesterday in 1 hour, I was out there working in the flower bed and clearing out some of the old dead brown plants and putting in new things. And it was so nice. Felt so good with just one layer of shirts on. And then in about an hour, I needed a coat and a cap. It was so sudden. But the pilgrims came here about this time of year in November, and they stayed out there waiting in that Mayflower until December before they really got the people unloaded. And for some years, they had been greatly persecuted as Christ's sheep in the land of England. King James I was not in favor of their religion at all. He promised in modern English to harass them out of the land, or worse. And what did he mean by or worse? Well, the Lord in his good providence delivered them from the or worse, and he brought them, opening a way for them to come here. And their coming was especially to escape the persecution in Europe. Now, they were not just coming to escape the persecution. They had the desire to plant something in this new world and even to try to reach the Indians with the gospel. Now, our text this morning, verse 36, this is one of the first times, it may be the very first time, that I can remember in all the years of this congregation that I have not had to leave our normal book study in order to preach Thanksgiving message. Of course, my memory is not as good as it used to be. It may not be the first time. But Romans 8:36 describes very severe persecution. We see three things in Romans chapter 8, verse 36. We see its incessant nature, the incessant nature of persecution. It's all the day long. And just remember, when you're enjoying being with your family, seated comfortably at home, eating a meal, whatever you're doing, that all during the day and all during the night, many of our brothers and sisters who love Christ across the world are suffering severe persecution. We see its incessant nature, but we also see its incitement. What is it that causes the persecutors to persecute God's people? You see it right there in verse 36. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. It is for the Lord's sake They don't like us because we belong to Christ. And then you see the third thing in verse 36. This persecution is upon the innocent. We are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The innocent. So we're going to look first of all regarding persecution, its incessant nature. Now Paul, in verse 36, writes, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long." He had just mentioned persecution back up in verse 35. We looked at that last week. He said, "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword." He speaks of persecution. And immediately to his well-honed Hebrew memory comes the quotation from Psalm 44 and verse 22. That is where this verse comes from in the Old Testament. Psalm 44, 22. Obviously, there were persecutions in the ancient times, not just in those horrible New Testament times of suffering when so many were put to death for the Lord. The murder of the saints began very early in human history. You remember how wicked Cain killed righteous Abel. It was not only that murder early in Genesis, but we read of Nimrod, the mighty hunter. If you understand that, he was not out there hunting deer. Nimrod was out there hunting the people of God to kill the saints of God. He was a wicked man. He carried out his murderous vendetta against the godly. Nimrod, that wicked man. Now, the old Puritan John Trapp said that the wicked Roman Caesar Diocletian killed 17,000 Christians in 1 month. In 1 month, the Roman Emperor Diocletian killed 17,000 believers. 30,000 French Protestants were murdered in Paris on St. Bartholomew's Day. And I have to say, I have read the accounts of the martyrs for so many years, and I recommend to you reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. We have a copy left in the church bookstore. We have more copies that are on their way here, but I would encourage you to read that. The heritage that we have from the apostles onward in the church, the martyrs. And I've read so many of the accounts through the years that I have to just close the books now. I just can't continue reading. It is so horrible and so disturbing. I can't take it anymore. Well, we're thinking especially about what was upon the minds of the pilgrims when they came here in the year 1620. What was it that caused them to give up everything in order to flee from Europe? Well, in England, in the country of England, for centuries, those who would dare to read this book, for centuries in England, if you dared to read this book, if you were caught reading or being a Bible believer, you're often slain by the state church. The followers of John Wycliffe, the Lollards, were persecuted during the 1400s, during the 1500s in England. Wherever they could find the Lollards were the preachers that Wycliffe trained. Wherever they could find them, they killed them. They were slain for the word of God and for their testimony. During the 5-year reign of Queen Bloody Mary, she killed about 300 Bible believers, mostly burning them at the stake. Even the Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Cranmer, was not spared, that great man, under the reign of Bloody Mary. the reigns of the Roman Catholic monarchs that followed her, Charles II and James II, promised more bloodshed for the Protestants. It was Charles II and James II that brought great persecution against the saints of God. The pilgrims, you know, had taken refuge in Holland for a few years, but they were afraid in Holland because the Duke of Alva, that wicked Spanish commander, had slain hundreds of thousands of the Reformed people there in the Netherlands in previous years. And they were afraid that he was coming back. And he did. Well, although the pilgrims came to America and escaped martyrdom, the murder of Christians continued in Europe and has not ceased on earth from that time till today. It's still going on today. So I say to you that this verse 36 sets before us the incessant nature of persecution of God's people in this world. Now we notice not only this incessant nature, but secondly, its incitement. What causes it? What incites this persecution? Well, we see here in verse 36, the words, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long." It is because we are the children of God, the great King, God Almighty. His laws, as well as His triune nature, are hated by all lost sinners. Okay, now you say, "Preacher, you're a little extreme there." Not all lost sinners hate Him. Jesus said, "They that are not with me are against me." So even if they are not consciously even thinking about Him, they're already rejecting Him because they're not worshiping Him, which is the breach of that commandment that we are to worship the Lord our God and Him only shalt thou serve. And they're refusing to worship Him. So they do not love Him, and they do not love His law. Otherwise, they would embrace Him. They would worship Him and love Him. Well, because of God's restraining grace, some lost sinners are able to keep their hatred of God and their malice toward His children subtly hidden within their heart. But that's not always going to be hidden there. It's going to come out on the judgment day. Judgment day will reveal it. What is really in the hearts of lost sinners will be shown openly to all on that judgment day. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. Jesus said, "Fear not them. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." He goes on to make it very clear in his teaching that what is in the hearts of lost, ungodly people is going to come out on the day of judgment. So there are people who keep that hidden very subtly within their hearts. Well, the Lord tells us here in this verse 36, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long." God's gracious purposes are fulfilled in the lives of His people and even in the deaths of His people. You know, there are lost sinners who are so full of envy and malice toward Christians that they give vent to their lust through murder. The wicked envy the righteous. And why are they against us? It's for the Lord's sake. They are against believers because we belong to the Lord and they don't. Let me say that again. The persecutors persecute God's people because we belong to the Lord and they don't. We are loved, we are saved, we are blessed, and they are not. There's the line of demarcation. There's the line of division. Because they are the children of the devil, they kill. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. He's the one who incited the murder of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because that day when they ate the forbidden fruit, they began to die. Their bodies had not the process of death in them until the devil's deception, and they began to die. He was a murderer from the beginning. And the murderous lust of their father, Satan, his children will do, Jesus said. John tells us in 1 John 3:12 that Cain slew Abel because his works were evil, but Abel's works were righteous. He was jealous. Envy causes much persecution of the saints of God. But it's for God's sake. For thy name's sake we are killed all the day long. It's God's gracious purpose. His purposes are fulfilled through the martyrdoms of his people. And you say, what? God's gracious purposes are even fulfilled through the martyrdoms of his people. The blood of the martyrs is indeed, as the church father said, the seed of the church. Now that martyr seed is coming up all over the country of China. China, in the midst of great spiritual awakening, the seed of the martyrs is coming up all over that land. Now we have, of course, we have difficulties with China. We agree there are difficulties with China. But it's so amazing that God is blessing the martyr seed, the martyr blood all across that land. Millions upon millions upon millions of Chinese coming, even at the cost of their suffering and being persecuted and even losing their lives, to embrace Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel in China. Well, it was so during the first three centuries of the New Testament church. As each martyr died, whether they had him in an amphitheater or whether they had him somewhere outside the city, when people saw believers died, they came to believe on Christ. And they never knew him before. It was the same during the Reformation, when Patrick Hamilton was burned at the stake in Scotland in the year 1528. This is what the enemies, people who hated the Bible and hated the Lord, said. This is what the enemy said, that wherever the smoke of his burning blew and upon those people that it touched, they became zealous Protestants, believers in Christ. So God has his gracious purposes, even in the persecution and the martyrdom of his people. Well, we've looked at the incessant nature of persecution all the day long. Its incitement, what causes persecution? For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. And now, finally, persecution is upon the innocent. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. God's children are accounted by the wicked to be no more than dumb beasts. The wicked consider the godly good only when we're dead. When this verse 36 was first written, it was in Psalm 44. The people of God, at that point in their history, were endeavoring, many of them, to walk faithfully with the Lord. They were still sinners, but they were repentant and they were exerting themselves to walk in holiness at that point. If you read Psalm 44 very carefully, you will see that that was a high point in the lives of many
of the Hebrew people. They were seeking to walk before God and to serve Him. And yet, they were persecuted. They can be described as innocent sufferers of persecution. Even as Peter exhorts us to have an honest manner of life, the way we live should be honest and open, so that when the heathen accuse us of evil doing, we may endure as those who suffer wrongfully. For ultimately, we are called to this because Christ suffered wrongfully. Christ suffered innocently for us, and He has left us His example that we should follow in His steps. Now, the pilgrims who came here in 1620 were open, honest, God-fearing people who simply wanted freedom to worship Christ according to God's word and according to their consciences. They suffered terrible losses. For what? For God and for truth. Only because they loved the Lord and they willingly obeyed His commandments. In the New World, God gave them great opportunities right here. They wanted to come to escape persecution, but they wanted more. They wanted to glorify God in founding a Christian culture and to reach the unreached savages. And they began among the Wampanoag Indians, and they had a great opportunity for propagating the gospel of Christ. It was the opening of the door of Christianity to the Native Americans. It wasn't long till one of their group, the Reverend John Elliott, labored, and he labored successfully for many years, preaching the gospel to the Indians of New England, translating the scriptures into their language, providing them with materials so they could know the Lord, teaching them to read. But you know, Elliot was followed by the great revival that spread among the Indians through the ministry of the young Reverend David Brainerd. But the list goes on. Those who fled persecution in Europe and came here to minister to the Indians, as to so many of our ancestors, not only our ancestors that came from Europe, but our ancestors that were already here receiving the gospel. One of the persecuted people that came over was the Reverend David Zeisberger. And he went to the state, what is now the state of Ohio, and he won the Indians there, many of them to Christ. And it transformed the whole area. It was like a Christian society right there in the Ohio Valley. Such a wonderful thing happened. And yet, after Zeisberger had spent many years of laboring and winning the Indians for Christ, the cycle of persecution started up again. There were so many of these wicked, savage white men that came in and killed those Indians. They were defenseless, and they were massacred by wicked, savage white men. These were peaceful Indians. They were not warring against anybody. They had not been. There had been peace there for a long time, and they were taken advantage of by wicked persecutors who manifested that hatred, that envy, that persecution was right in their hearts, and they were going to bring it out, and they did. Well, the root meaning of persecution is to pursue. And you know, death is pursuing every one of us, not just those who are 101 and 102. We came into this world with death
already pursuing us. And you know, there is only one safe refuge from death. It is being in Christ. Knowing Him as your Savior and as your Lord. If you were not in Christ today, if you were not in safety at this moment, I urge you to seek Him. Seek Him now. Call upon Him. For He has promised to save all those who call upon Him. The cycle of persecution continues to this day. God's word is truth. Persecution will not end on this planet until God's will is done on earth as it is being done now in heaven. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. And Lord, we praise Thee that Thou art with Thy people. Our brothers and sisters, at this moment, some are in prison, some are in hiding, others are being pursued by the enemies of God. Lord, we pray for Thy merciful hand upon Thy people. We praise Thee for what we read in Thy word today of that young man standing by as Stephen was martyred. We praise Thee that grace was pursuing him. Even in the time he was pursuing and persecuting Thy people, grace won. We praise Thee for the pursuit of grace after us. Oh God, we confess that death is pursuing every one of us. Oh Lord, cause grace to overtake each one in the hearing of the gospel today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.